2024, the 6 year of the Coaching Lab. Absolutely wild. If you've been with us from the start, thanks so much. If you've joined us along the way, you're definitely on the team and we're ever so grateful. It's incredible to have each and every one of you. Every interaction you have with Matchplay cards, every time you share them on social media, each time you share them with another coach, or when you go and buy 10, 15 decks for the whole department at school, you have helped us grow into something absolutely wild and we're so, so grateful. As I reflected on the past 5 years over Christmas, I wrote down one thing. We'll do things we've never done before in 2024. It was time to bring ideas to life, and one of those ideas was an added value item to really help you maximize your match play cards. So we've released an ebook, 17 of our ultimate games to play with match play cards, a season worth of games in our curriculum and world-class insights from coaches and environments using our match play cards. Hit the link in our bio and get ready to download it. Right, I've definitely spoke way too much. Let the podcast kick off for 2024. Daisy Cottrell, Any Girl Netball founder. If you want to create great sporting experiences for the people in your environment, this one is definitely for you. Happy listening.
Daisy Cottrell, welcome to the Coaching Lab podcast, our first one of 2024. There's a few mutual connections, I guess. There's obviously match play cards. There's obviously that we both know the king of the Midlands in Russ Smith as well. there's a few kind of connections, but talk to us about how we've ended up where we are today and the amazing work that you're up to.
Yeah, so I guess we're where we are because I really wanted the cards. I really wanted the cards just so that we could make our sessions just that little bit better, give the kids a bit of ownership. And you know, so I'm obviously the director of Any Girl Netball, and we provide netball for kids in deprived areas, girls, young women in deprived areas, and we just want to provide them a fun, safe space to feel like they're seen, heard. And the cards were something that I guess it takes away from like a dictatorship. We want to give them the ownership. We want them to really own their practice and make something of it. We don't want to keep telling them do this. We want them to feel like, you know what, I can be a leader in this group, I can use these cards, we can make it what we want it, because they learn more from that, us telling them go and do this. They're just reciting, I guess, what we're telling them but physically, whereas the cards, they can be a leader, use their voice, think about the game deeper and actually question each other rather than us just constantly at them, which is not what we like, but it can come across like that, especially when they're in school all day with teachers telling them what to do. And our environment's supposed to be a fun thing for them to feel like it's theirs and it's their space. And a lot of them have different issues with their background, home life. The area we live in is just full of crime, and it's somewhere that they can really call their own and enjoy it, work with us to be better at netball, enjoy the sport and just have fun.
If more school environments shared your philosophy in education, I think we'd see more kids attend school, and I think we'd see more kids have better sporting experiences and actually want to partake in sport after school when they finish, but also during that school period. But it's amazing 100%. What education.
100%, because we've taken them into after school clubs as well. Might as well just use them everywhere. And we've found that they find netball with us, with the cards, a lot different, because like I say, it is just like reciting something someone's telling you to do. When a teacher's saying, oh, go and do this many passes or go and do this drill. Whereas we go in, we say, okay, we're just going to do games today, but we've got these cards. And then they can really think about the game, think about more than just the skill. Because once you get so far, the skill takes you probably, to a basic game. It's how you think on the court that's actually going to win you games, which is what I tell them all the time, but they never actually got that until they experienced the cards. And they find it different. Like, it's netball sometimes for girls in school can be really boring, because a lot of them don't want to be there. They don't enjoy it. Whereas when they're thinking and they're talking in their little teams, or we set them off on a task, they're actually engaging in the sport more, which is, I guess, all we really want.
Absolutely. And different is good. Different isn't bad. It's definitely, it's good to be different. And give us a little bit of context, Daisy. How did this amazing project kind of start as something so small to then grow to something that you've now got former players that you supported in the program that are now coaching for you? Take us on a bit of a journey through what that looked like.
It's very long. So I played netball at school. I'm from a deprived area myself. I live in the same area that we now run Any Girl Netball. So I started at school. I was very, very shy, not confident at all. Then stumbled into netball, and very quickly we became very good at the sport. We all gelled really quickly. Netball brought us together. We were all different people in school, but netball brought us together. And for a lot of us, helped us focus on something and keep us off the streets and bring out things in us that we didn't know we necessarily had. So for me, it was confidence. And then became really good. We actually finished fifth in the country at the England Netball Finals for schools. We went to regional, national finals every year. We were the top state school in the country for netball. We were very, very good, and that's all credit to our coach and how good she was. But for girls in an area like this to be so good at a sport and being recognised nationally, it is unheard of, and it was just crazy. So I know that that model of having people that care around us and role models and sport and all the wraparound add-ons like qualifications and workshops and people coming in to speak to us, it works. So I went away to university, went to University of Worcester, studied sports coaching, came home and realised there's nothing here for netball. It's the sport that I love. It's something I know can work. Spoke to a few people, Russ Smith being one of them, Street Games being another, who he's obviously was connected with. And I was just saying, there's nothing here for girls. Really, there's girls only projects, but netball is very expensive. It is just like other sports are, but you need a court, you need a hoop, you need the balls, you need the bibs, you need all of that, you need a coach. You can't just play it anywhere. So we had the idea. I spoke to the girl that is now one of my coaches that was 11 years old when I first met her, when I first started coaching. She's now 19. We had a conversation, and I said to her, like, come and help me with this. I've got an idea. We started our sessions. We got some money from various sources. And then we had girls showing up. And then week by week, we just had more and more girls turning up to our sessions. It was just netball. It was just turn up and play. But it turned out that they really needed it. They wanted it. They wanted to do it outside of school. They didn't want to do it in school anymore. And it just kind of took off. And then I guess qualifications started coming for the girls and opportunities for them to volunteer and trips and seeing live sport, all the things that they would never have had before, they're now experiencing. And we've got to have about 30 regulars a week that show up across three different locations. Like, it's honestly crazy.
That's testament to you, and it proves that if you coach for confidence, connection and care, the results will look after themselves. But if you go after the results, that stuff is then forgotten. But if you coach for the confidence of the young people, the connection and the care, everything else is looked after.
Oh, definitely, definitely. And I think that's just what they needed, really.
And talk to us about some of those young people and maybe some of those success stories. You know, you mentioned the one there of becoming a coach, but maybe saying something around, you know, giving the girls choice with the cards, and sometimes a lot of their environments may not have any choice in, or they may not have any ownership in their life outside of school or outside of Any Girl Netball. Talk to us about some of those experiences.
I think that, so a lot of the girls that we do have, and the area that we live in can be very chaotic for various reasons, crime, abuse, anything. There's a lot that comes with living and growing up in a deprived area. And I think that using the cards, using our approach, it often gives them a sense of control that they don't have anywhere else in their life. They have, like I said, the ownership of the session. It's theirs. We don't want to have any say in what you're doing. We just want to listen. We want to hear what you've taken from this and how you're going to progress through the session. And I think that we have a number of girls that to other people are difficult. They're not to us. A lot of the time we'll go into their school and the school will say to us, oh yeah, like we can't control them. They're rude. They don't want to listen to us. I've never had that scenario with that student ever. A lot of the girls just come because they enjoy our company, I'd like to think. They like our sessions. They like the control that they have. And with the coach that I mentioned that was 11 and she's now 19, so her name's Izzy, and she's going to hate that I've said that, but she was, to me, she wasn't difficult. She had a big personality that a lot of people may have misunderstood, which is the story of majority of our girls. They're just misunderstood. They don't know how to channel certain feelings in the correct way sometimes. They can go all guns blazing and they're just a lot to some people. To us, it's never a lot. We like that. We like to promote having a personality, being charismatic, being loud, being you. And now I think her journey, she's gone from being that big character that everyone misunderstood to maturing and realizing that, oh okay, maybe if I was being this way towards people, that would have maybe made them realize I'm a nice girl. I'd just come across like I want to fight everyone. And now she's such a good role model to the kids because she's gone through the same thing that they've gone through. And she's at every session. She's at university, the same university I went to, funny enough. And she's going to be such a good teacher one day because she understands the pathway of a lot of these kids. She understands how to listen. She understands that it just takes a minute sometimes to get that out of the kids. And if we had more people like her, honestly, I don't think we would have a problem with a lot of kids in school, because I think that you need to sometimes just take a second and listen and truly be present in that moment and not just prejudge a child because of how they're coming across, which is what we try to do all the time. And that's why, like, we use the cards, we use our approach, we bring food in and we make it a good environment for them where they can enjoy it.
Have you got some guiding principles when you say an approach? Like, what is that guiding principle that you've grown from one centre to a second to a third? Like, what is a couple of core things? You know, we all say fun, but what does that kind of look like, or those guiding principles to you guys?
I think I wouldn't even know how to explain it because it's just who we are. We don't put a mask on ever. I am who I am, and they're going to see that. Like, of course, you have to be a certain way with kids. You can't be too friendly because we're not friends. I'm here, at the end of the day, I'm a coach, but we are who we are, and we're going to show the kids this because they deserve to see real people that have been successful, and we're all from the same area. We are trying to be at the best versions of ourselves, but sometimes, yeah, we make mistakes. Yes, we have a slip up. Yeah, I'm not perfect. Everything's chaotic, but I'm just keeping it under control. It's okay to see a bit of a mess, but someone that's successful and someone that does all these things. And so our first thing is just being real with them. If they ask a question, we answer it honestly. Of course, in a way that's going to help them and not make them think, oh, being an adult's hard. but we're just honest with them. We go in every day happy, but also if we're struggling, I'm not there crying, but I'm honest with you know what, I'm having a hard day, I just need a second, which is something that they sometimes need to understand, because expressing your emotions when you're young going through puberty is difficult. We've all been there. And I think just being really open. So the food helps, because conversations happen over food and kids tell us how they feel over food, and it's how everyone is. Food opens people up. And yeah, I think that's it. It's just food being nice and being ourselves and just creating an environment where they can see strong women, independent women, women that are unapologetic in every way, so that they know that, you know what, I see myself in this coaching team. I've been through something like that. They understand where I come from. They listen to me. But also we're here to play netball, and they're never going to judge our ability because they're here to help us.
That's so cool. It's so authentic as well. You know, it's true to yourself and authentic. It's interesting you mentioned the food. I went to Crystal Palace Academy, and look, from the outside looking in, you would think it's a big Premier League club and, you know, there's loads of money everywhere, whatever. But some of those kids come from single homes. They may not get a lunch at times, and they introduce something after training. So training might finish at 7:30, 8 o'clock midweek, twice a week, three times a week for some kids. And they very simply introduced a chicken wrap after training that was in foil. You just collect it and you go. And the staff said exactly the same things that you said, that it brings people together. It takes the weight off a parent or a carer or guardian to think, okay, I need to find food for that person tonight. But it creates a connection between one person and another. Mm-hmm. And that's so powerful and probably something that we forget about in a lot of environments.
Yeah, definitely. I think when we started Anygirl, and I specifically put like an amount in a funding bid for food, and I understand why some people might question, why do you need food? Like, can they not get their own food? But I think people don't realise that some of these kids won't eat that night. They probably will, but some of them might not. Some of them might not have eaten at school because they've got no money on their card or whatever to get food. And some of them might have eaten at lunch, but might not have had breakfast. It's about providing them with everything they need to feel like, okay, this is giving me everything that I want in a day. I'm happy, I'm getting food. Then they start all gathering around, eating the food, talking, and then slowly they gather around us, around the table that we've got set up every week, and conversations start happening. And we have a police officer that's, I guess, kind of attached to us. And that's another thing, her bringing the food in really opened them up to her, because in an area like this, in a country like this, in a world like this, you can have very difficult relationships with the police. And our young people, because of their families, because of social media, have difficult relationships with the police. So when we did bring her in, it was a scary moment for all of us, because I thought, oh, this is going to stop them from coming to our sessions now. Then they're not going to like this. They're going to hate this. I think I've made the wrong decision. But it's the right decision, because now she brought food in. They love that. They literally ask where she is every week. They disclose information to her about things they've seen, or they ask her questions about whether this is right or wrong. And this is something that I never thought would happen, truly. But to even see them say, oh, like, can we go outside and talk to this police officer? It's like, oh, what about me? You used to talk to me about these. But now, like, they're talking to someone that can truly help them. And it's something that a lot of people in a community like this need to do, because they're safe. They know that they have someone that can protect them, someone they can trust on the force. And it's just taken us to that extra step, I guess, in trying to help the community.
And success leaves clues. So when people kind of give you feedback, what would they say about the young people? What would they say about that experience? Because every person that has an experience with you is, you know, selling that fervor for you and sharing that story. And when you see a kid transform their behavior or their attitude or whatever that looks like for them, you are that person, you are that organization that really does that. What do people say about the young people coming through?
To be honest, a lot of different things. Sometimes it's, oh, I don't think this is quite working. I'm like, just wait a second, give it a minute. This might take years, it might take a few weeks. People are complex. A lot of the time it's that we give them confidence. We give them a space where they can really, I guess, channel their emotions, work out how to express their emotions. I mean, we had a member of parliament for our local area come in to meet me. I want to say it was about October time. She's been great. She's provided us with so much, but she spoke to some of the young people. And after the kids went back in, she was saying, like, they're just so well-spoken. They're so confident. A lot of young people would maybe struggle to speak to me because I look like I'm from an office and I'm from Parliament. Like, it's a big thing for some kids that I would have probably struggled at 13. And she was just saying how well they articulate themselves and how they're not scared to say what they think, because we've created an environment where they trust us, they feel they can say what they want.
And my final question, Daisy, is around, like, how have you added some of these cards, match play cards, into the sessions to, you know, we all talk about giving ownership and responsibility and confidence, but what does that look like in a session? You know, how are you, what are the logistics? How are you actually doing that?
So we know our kids very, very well. So we know which cards we need to give to certain participants. So I think I think 2 weeks ago when we first started back, we have some young people that are a little quieter than others. We have some huge characters that come every week, which is great, but I don't need to hear your voice all the time. So we tend to give them the I can't talk now cards. And then we give our less confident kids the leader card or a card where they need to give the rules or make the decisions or anything, any of the cards that are around them, I guess, being the leader, speaking, giving direction. We don't push them too hard, obviously. If we think that this is going to make them go right back into their shell, we don't do that. And we found that our really talkative, crazy girls have learned how to, you know what, I don't need to talk right now. I need to listen. I don't need to be 100% right now. I need to be about 40. I'll keep my mouth shut and I'll listen to people. And actually, I'll get a lot out of that. And our younger ones that are, I guess, just coming through, they benefit from being a bit of a leader in that group as well, because, you know, it's scary when you've got some of the older girls around. And then even just anything to help them understand the game on a different level, because I think they're at a point where they're on the court and they're just playing. They're not actually thinking about, you know what, I need to use my brain now, because it's getting to the point where we can all play. We can all play netball. But I need to think about what I'm actually doing on court, who I'm passing to, where the ball's going to go next. And the reflection cards have helped massively with that, because I don't think they'd ever reflected on anything before. Not even at school, to be honest. I think they just think, oh yeah, reflection, I'll just write this or I'll just say this, and not actually thought about how what's just happened has happened, but how am I breaking that down now? How can we make this better next time? I think that's definitely helped. And I use the cards as well at the university I coach at. And you'd think that they were all very clued up with netball and reflecting and questioning what they're doing. They're not at all. I think I took the cards in and they were like, what's this? what do we do now? They were looking at me for direction. And I was just stood there like, I'm not doing anything. This is yours. Off you go. And I did not know what to do. Like, it's crazy that when you give them a little bit of free rein, they panic. But now it's kind of developed into they understand the game on a deeper level. They have thought about what they're going to do next before they've done it, which they never used to at all, which was frustrating for me when we're trying to win games. And you can see how, like, it doesn't matter what level the kids are at all, kids, students, adults, they all need to think about the game deeper to develop. Because for any girl, our aim isn't to develop them as netballers, it's people. But at the university, my role is to win games. And it doesn't matter. They need to understand the game because it helps them with life as a person anyway. It's helped me win games, obviously, but it's made them think more. And you need to be reflective through life anyway. If you're going to be successful and progress to where you want to be, you've got to be able to reflect.
I think that's such a powerful note to finish on. And comes back to what we said earlier around if you coach for confidence, connection and care, everything else will look after itself. And I think what a great podcast to start the year off. You know, if we all coach for those three things, I think our players, our young people, our adults that we work with will all be in a better position come the end of 2024 and beyond.
Hopefully I can keep doing like that long.
Awesome. Daisy, thanks so much for your time. You do an incredible job and it's amazing to share the story.
Thank you.